This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
As parents, you have to let your children test the boundaries, learn the boundaries, know when they say, you know what, Mom, I need a little bit more Instagram today. You know what, Mom, I've had too much Instagram today. And that's where they're learning. It's all a learning process. I know I watched a ton of television as a child.
Right.
And my husband will say the same thing. He watched a ton of television as a child and we turned out okay. And I'm not saying like, oh, we turned out okay. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying like, but we learned our boundaries.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my co-host, the lovely Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
It's a lovely, lovely morning here as we're gearing up for the Happy Mom Summit, which is in just a few weeks.
People can't see me dancing. They just hear me making weird noises. I'm dancing.
It is our biggest event of the year. So if you have not got your tickets yet, you can get it right in the link below. And our guest today, Tara Clark, is a speaker in the summit. So you'll get to hear more from her. Before we get into it, though, Bree and I have something to ask you. Can you take a few seconds and rate and review the podcast? It really, really helps us out and it helps get the podcast out to more moms, get the message out for more moms. So if you can just take a few minutes, do that. We love it. We will shout you out on air with all the thanks in the world. It really, really means a lot. And with that, we're excited to introduce you to our guest today, Tara Clark. Tara Clark is the founder of Modern Mom Probs, host of the Modern Mom Probs podcast, and author of the book by the same name. She helps moms find solutions for their modern mom problems and is a speaker, like we said, at our 2024 Happy Mom Summit, as well as Alt Summit and Mom 2.0 this spring. So we hope you enjoy our conversation with Tara and really listen to it. We get into those guilt-inducing topics. Screen time, we break it down exactly what we do. You're going to feel a lot better after you hear it. And what you feed your kids, which I could go on forever and ever about.
And we take the shame out of that part.
We take the shame out. So we hope you enjoy our conversation with Tara.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Tara. It's always a joy to get to talk to you. And we're just going to have some fun during this show. So welcome, welcome.
Let's do it. Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be with both of you.
I love your podcast. It's called Modern Mom Problems because there are so many problems affecting moms today. What do you think are the biggest mom problems that you're seeing right now?
You know, it's funny because there are so many. And then when I tell people about my show or what I do, and they're like, oh gosh, yes, I have so many. So people always agree and they vouch for that as well. And I'll give you a little bit of a background. When I first started the account and I was talking about modern mom problems, I was doing it very tongue-in-cheek and very like first world problems, because there was also an Instagram account called First World Problems. And so, and maybe it was also a Twitter account at the time, because that's how long ago this was, where people were making light of things. But as my account evolved and as I was doing it longer, I wasn't just talking about running out to Target and getting lattes. I started then talking about maternal mental health and postpartum depression and infertility and miscarriage and all other things that do fall under the umbrella of modern mom problems. And so now here we are all these years later talking about both light things and more serious. And so anything that falls underneath that umbrella of a modern mom problem, we're going to talk about it.
See, I love that. And there's so many problems that I've realized that people just don't talk about. And then when it happens in your own life, that you see so much fear about it. Like we saw it today in our balance community, where somebody was talking about how their partners get really upset if the house isn't completely clean.
Oh, don't get me started on that one.
And so then they feel it's their job to keep the house clean. And I commented on that and I'm like, no, that's your partner's job if he's upset. And like all these other women were commenting on it too. And she said, you know what? I didn't realize that I wasn't the only one struggling with this issue. And just stuff like that and bringing like problems like this out to the surface. Have you seen anything recently that you saw that just made people feel less alone by talking about these issues?
Yeah. I mean, gosh, like where do we even begin with this? I mean, I'm serious because there's so many things. Like, you know, you asked me as the first question, like, you know, what are some of the modern mom problems, right? It's things like the mental load of motherhood, which obviously that story falls underneath that. It's loneliness. It's social media comparison. It's screen time with our kids. It's what to feed our children. There's so many things that unite all of us that we are all going through to one degree or another. And those are the modern mom problems that we have right now. But going back to the mental load of motherhood, yeah, that is a huge one. And until people started putting a label to it and sharing their own stories, we didn't realize that we weren't the only ones going through that, because that's stuff that's happening in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah.
And until now that people are inviting other people into their homes via social media, and then we get to see insights and say, oh, wait a second, that's not how it is in everyone's house, that I have to constantly clean up after my partner and my children. You go, wait a second. And bringing that level of awareness changes everything. I say this all the time for all kinds of things, for kid stuff and adult stuff and parenting stuff. It's like, it all starts with awareness. And I think the mental load of motherhood is a huge, huge thing.
Well, I think a big thing you just said there too is about putting a label on it. Like, I am a huge proponent of helping find diagnoses, helping find labels to things, because it's that nameless, nagging feeling that really isolates you. Because then you don't know how to verbalize it to other people. And you just – and that's what just perpetuates the whole thought process of, oh, it's just me. It's just my messed up head. It's just my messed up feelings. I'm just being too sensitive. I'm the only one who doesn't have it together. But that label helps it so much. And I love how mental load is becoming such a big thing in social media lately. But also just being able to say so tongue-in-cheek of like, it's a modern mom problem. It's a thing. Because if I try to talk to my mom about something and be like, did you ever feel like you had too much on your plate and that da-da-da, and my mom comes back and is like, No, it was just a blessing to have you all, and I was able to, and you're like, ah.
You're like, because, okay, like, I'm so excited, I can't even get the word out. I'm like, no, I was talking with actually my mother-in-law, and I was talking about like this mental load thing, and she came back with a comment that was very similar to that. It was like, yep, yeah, it's a lot to juggle, but like, I see it is that generation. Like, that generation was told that, hey, like, you don't share your inside home life with the outside world.
Yeah.
That is a private matter that is not to be shared. That's not to be discussed. That is something that you handle from within the family. And I think something that's different with what we're doing things now is that we don't even care. Like, we don't, we're like, we're done. We're done with this crap. Like, we saw our moms go through it. We see exactly what happened when we left the house and our moms no longer had kids to care for on a regular basis. And what happened with that? And I think we're just at the point, like, and I'm proud of our generation for doing this and for bringing this out to the surface. And like what you said, Brie, with the vocabulary, it reminds me of human giver syndrome. And I think I've talked with you about this before, Tara. Have I mentioned this
no.
to you too?
No, let's talk about it.
Okay, so human giver syndrome, it is from a book called Burnout by Emily and Amelia Nagoski.
Oh, yes, I knew that sounded familiar. I was like, I've read that book. And so I vaguely, we did talk about that.
Yeah, but having that vocabulary of all of us women basically feeling that we need to give to everybody else, give to our family, give to our partners. And in my life recently, like my husband's been working like 15-hour days and I've been in charge of everything at home and being the CEO of a company and trying to run that as well, I am givved out. Like I'm givved out. So much so that when you want to be like affectionate to the people around you, when my husband comes and he's all affectionate, I'm like, I can't. Like, and I told him that. I'm like, because I had the vocabulary. I have give to everybody else. I just want to be the one to relax and just receive what people give me and have somebody take care of me for once. And I cannot give anymore at this moment.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I think having the vocabulary is so important.
It's so important because otherwise we just suffer literally in silence. Yeah. And I say literally because there is no word to describe that feeling that we have. It's important to be able to talk about these things.
Because
then at least if we have this, we're all on the same page of talking with the same phrase and same terms. And we go, oh, you feel like that? Oh, I feel like that. Oh, you feel like that? Oh, we feel like that. And so then that's where it builds the camaraderie.
It does. Mm-hmm. And that building of the camaraderie is also what helps make it okay. Because when you're just saying it with like, let's say you have vocabulary and let's say it's like, I am feeling burnt out, right? I'm feeling burnt out and overwhelmed and like I've given to everybody in my family and nobody is giving back to me. Do you feel like that? Now, if somebody were to say that to you and you don't really know this person or like whatever, you might be like, I don't know if I want to get that deep with this person right away. But the fact that we're sharing it more in our means that we have, our modern means, which is like mainly social media, podcasts, all of these kinds of avenues, it normalizes it more and it makes it less scary to admit to people that we might not know as our besties that, yeah, I'm feeling like I'm drowning. I'm drowning and I need somebody to throw me a lifeline here.
Yeah. Well, there were two modern mom problems, Tara, that you mentioned before, the screen time and the what we feed our kids. And I want to get into that right after this break. Hey, all. It is Joanne.
And Brie here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Or just click on the link in our show notes.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
In terms of screen time, like, this is a huge guilt issue for parents. And I think that let's talk about this. And I want to talk about exactly like how screen time looks in our homes and be totally transparent, because people need to hear this. People need to hear this. I will go first. So in my home, my daughter, she's 15. She has screen time limits on her phone that she actually requested. I originally took them off for high school. And then my daughter, we talk about mental health and everything like that. And she noticed that hers were it was going down the longer she spent on her screen. And so she requested me to put them back on for Instagram, and it's an hour, and she'll come to me and she'll be like, "Mom, can I have more time?" and I'll give it to her then, but she likes that. My son has 2 hours a day to play on Minecraft and Roblox, which he does usually FaceTime with his friends and playing it at the same time. And he'll come to me and he'll be like, "So can I have some more?" And I'm like, "Yeah, most of the time it's a yeah, unless there's a nagging chore." And if he can't have more screen time, he usually goes and watches YouTube flight videos. I mean, the boy has a lot of screen time, and I don't know what I would do as a parent without it. And I do not regret it, and I do not see any ill effects from it on his end. It's a lot, and it's going okay in our house.
I could follow up on that one saying Yeah, I will. Very similar. So I have an 11-year-old son. And he also plays Roblox with his friends on FaceTime. So he has it on his iPad and he talks with his friends on FaceTime. And yeah, we actually don't have limits in our house, but that's come out over the course of working through it. And now we've gotten to the point where we say, "Okay, you have 10 more minutes, 5 more minutes, finish up." He does. And now he just says to his friends, "Okay, I have to go in 5 minutes." And like, it used to be a struggle and it used to be a fight. Mm-hmm. And now the way that we've worked it out, he respects it. He respects those boundaries. And so thank goodness. And so going back to YouTube, he also loves watching YouTube. But he's really recently got into anime. So we've been watching a lot of anime lately too.
I remember anime was a big thing in my high school. Like, I had a group of friends who loved anime.
It's a bigger thing still.
Yeah. We're watching a show called One Piece, which has 1,000 episodes. And we're currently on episode, like, I don't know, 220. It's a lot.
They're shorter too, though, right? They're not like
– Yes,
they're short episodes.
It's about 20 minutes. Yes, exactly. So screen time is something that is a bit of an issue. Sometimes my husband will get – annoyed that my son's still on the computer and he's still talking to his friends. But then on the flip side, we're happy that he's socializing. He's not in his room by himself doing that. I should also say that when he's playing, he's always in a common space in our house. Mm-hmm. He's either in the kitchen or in the dining room or in the living room. We're all near each other. We all can listen in on his conversation because his friends are screaming on the iPad. Yeah. So there's that. So like, we're monitoring what's happening, and we do that by choice. And so we're obviously very intentional in our parenting. And over time, we've gotten more and more intentional with the screen time and letting him know his boundaries, like I said. And so, I mean, are there days where he plays longer than others? Yes, absolutely. And are there days where we do have to step in and say, "Okay, come on, let's go do something productive or go outside"? And even if we ever say to him, "Let's do something productive," you know what? He comes back to us and he says, "But what I'm doing is productive because I'm spending time with my friends, or we're working on a project together and we have a goal that we're working towards." So in his mind, he sees it as productive.
Yeah.
It's true. It is. I mean, it's really our adult opinion about productivity that is getting to it. Because also, like, I envy them. They're just having fun. And I've gotten to the point in my adult life where I have a really hard time just having fun because it's been so ingrained in me that I need to use every moment and be as productive as possible. So it's interesting. It's interesting about productivity. What about you, Brie?
So mine are older. My oldest is almost, he turned 17 in a couple of weeks, and my youngest will be 16 this summer. And I'm also divorced, and my kids spend half with me, half with their dad. And their mobile devices are split between the two of us. Like, his dad was in charge of getting my son a mobile device, and I was in charge of getting our daughter a mobile device. So my daughter has an Apple iPhone that's with us in our Apple group. And then my son has a Google phone with his dad, an Android. So I don't have the ability to put any limits on my son's phone with an account. I do with my daughter, but it also makes it harder when they're not with us and they ask for like permissions. So in the very beginning, we toyed with the idea, but it didn't really work out. They've always had free reign of screens, I'll be honest with you. Like, and it, because of the way that piece works. And I'm literally just talking about their phones for the most part. But then you also have two different homes with two different households with two different setups and value systems. Like, I'll admit our two households are fairly different. So when they're here, they use the screen time as they need. And it, like you guys just said, I noticed that for my son, he uses it for school. And then that's his enjoyment time. That's his time that he gets to connect with his friends, because having two parents that live in two different parts of the city that they've been at different schools, he has friends from all over, that it's not possible for him to get face-to-face with them between all of his other extracurriculars. So he does that. Now, does he use it more than I want? Yes. And Joanne knows. She's heard me complain plenty about it, where it's like, and his computer is in his room because of the way that our house is set up. So it is a bit of a pull to get the 17-year-old out of there. But I do feel like for the most part, he's responsible. And if I ask him, I tell him like it's important to me that we spend time together. I let him know in advance what my plans are for the day. Like, hey, I really want to spend tonight together. So try to be done by 6 so that we can hang out tonight. And he'll do it. He'll maybe mumble and shuffle his feet and roll his eyes, but he'll do it. And then my daughter, she has TikTok, she has Instagram, she has all of that. And I have noticed sometimes when she was on it too much, seeing some negative mental health as well. So like we've talked about that, and I think she's getting better. But I think part of it too, I mean, if I could go back and do it differently, I probably would figure out some better way to do limits. But I do think that part of it is them learning how to work with this, right? Because in our generation, like it blows my mind when I think about what my parents have been through. Having a radio at first and then moving into just television in general and then moving into like the technology we have now, right? Our kids they have to learn how to work with this technology. They have to learn the limits of it because it's going to be there the rest of their lives. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't feel like you can just take the technology away or set limits. Like, it's a learning process for sure.
It's definitely an open dialogue. I think that the open dialogue is the key in this. And now, granted, we won't know. Talk to me in 20 years. We can flash forward and see how well-adjusted my kids are or aren't. But I think that this conversation with them constantly is the best thing that we can do.
It 1,000% is. It the whole open dialogue is really the key. I had a really interesting guest on my podcast one day, and she was telling me a story about her college roommate had cases of Coca-Cola from the floor to the ceiling because her parents, when she lived in her parents' home before college, wouldn't allow her to have soda. So she went the total opposite spectrum and had cases and cases of Coca-Cola. And so we were talking about this in response to the screen time. And she said, as parents, you have to let your children test the boundaries, learn the boundaries, know when they say, you know what, Mom? I need a little bit more Instagram today. You know what, Mom? I've had too much Instagram today. And that's where they're learning. It's all a learning process. I know I watched a ton of television as a child.
Right.
And my husband will say the same thing. He watched a ton of television as a child. And we turned out okay. And I'm not saying like, oh, we turned out okay. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying like, but we learned our boundaries. If I watched too much television and I was sick of watching Muppet Babies, guess what? I shut off Muppet Babies and then I went to go play with my dolls. And that's what I did.
The Muppet Babies theme song just started going through my head. Yep, exactly.
For you.
Like that.
I love that you still know the song, Bree.
Every day, every morning. That was my thing. That was my jam.
I loved Muppet Babies. Oh, my goodness. Well, the cases of the Coke actually really go in well to talking about what we feed our kids. I feel like this is another modern mom problem, and we're going to do that right after this.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck. And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it? We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly,
wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking It. I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
So I really wanted to touch on this subject about what we feed our kids, because it is such a guilt-ridden subject for me, so much so that when we have guests that come on the podcast, I will like outwardly almost fight them on food-related things. Like I have to hold myself back.
Okay, because I want to hear more about this too.
You have to like refresh my memory on this. Like, really? Okay.
This sounds juicy, no pun intended.
I'll be a little more abrasive than I usually will. Oh, she knows exactly. Brie knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I will counter every single argument because, okay, so first of all, I had an eating disorder when I was in high school. I was bulimic. And it was actually something I just told my mom like a year ago. So I feel free making this out public. Everybody in my life knows that this happened. And I have a tendency to really concentrate on food. So much so, like I went on a macro counting thing last year and I had to drop it in the middle of the year because all my thoughts were of food. All the time. And I could not get it out of my head just because that's how my brain is wired. So whenever we talk about food, it becomes a very, very charged subject for me. And in fact, I don't want my kids to have that same reaction. So that when somebody comes on and says, oh, you should feed your kids natural ingredients and do as much home cooking as possible, immediately I'm like,
yeah,
okay. Like, because I'm trying to guard everyone against that raising kids who constantly think about food and label some foods as bad, like Coca-Cola, and some foods as good because it could really, really cause problems in the future. In terms of what I feed my kids, like we'll take breakfast, for instance. My daughter eats those cornbread packets. That's her breakfast. That's all she wants for breakfast. That's what she likes. And so she eats cornbread. And my son is right now doing Chobani flips. That's his favorite.
So is Audrey. That's her favorite right now. What's his flavor?
He's trying all of them right now.
Audrey's
and he's trying to figure it out.
She's a starch cookie dough one. That's hers, man.
Oh, but it's basically good. Like very similar to candy. Yeah. If you followed natural food advice and you still feel like that influx of guilt, but you also feel that, hey, like they're going to eat. Our main responsibility, get them that calories. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
That's my mantra too. I definitely am in the camp of get them calories any way you can. My son is very slim and I just need to get him to eat calories so that he doesn't fall underweight. It's interesting. I was always feeling guilty about that. And when we go to the pediatrician, I'm worried that they're going to tell me he's underweight. He's actually not. He's exactly where he needs to be. But the pediatrician said, Tara, don't worry. You have no idea how many conversations a day I have with parents because obesity is an issue and you're worried about keeping weight on him. He's like, don't give yourself unnecessary guilt and stress. You know, if he's thriving and he's growing and he's developing, don't worry that you think he's under the curve, because he's not. And so there is so much guilt either ways. And could my son eat healthier? Yes. You know, did I start him out eating organic blueberries and all of that kind of stuff? And now does he eat whatever? Also, yes. You know what? When he was a baby, we have this ongoing joke that he used to go through a pint of blueberries, organic blueberries a day. So we said he had a pack a day habit of blueberries. And so we were like, oh, he's a pack a dayer. And it's true. I mean, at one point in his life when he was a baby, we were blowing through money because, you know, berries are expensive.
Oh, God, yeah.
Organic blueberries were like super expensive. Now he won't even touch a blueberry. Couldn't get him to touch a blueberry if I tried. And so obviously tastes change, yeah. Preferences change. But at the end of the day, is he eating? Yes. Is he starting to now open up his repertoire of what he will try? Also, yes. He got to a point where he was probably 3-4 years old. He became a very selective eater. Mm-hmm. And he only would eat certain things. All the classic kid things. Pizza, chicken nuggets, french fries.
Goldfish. Were goldfish in there too?
Tons. Oh, God, yes.
Those have crack in them, I swear. Something.
There is something in them. Because it happens to me. I'll have a handful. I'm like, oh, then I'm like fiending for them. So there's definitely something. It's not just the kids. I don't know. It's so much salt.
It's like all the salt. All the so salt good. Is like,
so good. My
the cheese and the salt and the fat. And the, ooh, it's like tongue fireworks.
Yes. So that, well, another one in our families. But now he's starting to eat more steak. He loves grilled chicken and broccoli. And I tell people this and they don't believe me. And I'm like, no, no, like grilled chicken, broccoli and rice is now one of his favorite foods. And they're like, really? He's a kid that didn't used to eat anything. Yeah. And you're like, yes, guess what? People change.
Because you know why? You didn't shame him for not eating stuff. And I think that's where, Joanne, like you're there are people in the world that will shame their kids for not eating their vegetables, everything. And now, granted, we grew up in that generation. I did it when my kids were really little, where I was like, you're not getting up from this table until you've eaten everything that's on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
Or starving kids in Africa. All of that came out of my mouth.
Well, I know people who do that too. I won't mention them. Oh, you got to eat something. You got to eat something. But I also know that person's doing it out of fear,
yeah.
Because this is a 4-year-old she's talking about. And the 4-year-old becomes massively cranky if he doesn't eat when he needs to.
Right. But there's a difference between trying to get food in your kid, right? Because you know that their blood sugar is going to drop. And oh my God, where's the greens on your plate? You're a bad kid because you don't like green beans or broccoli or salad or peas. Like, not that I'm speaking from experience, but, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, here's the other thing. The other thing that gets me about all these food things, a lot of in the natural world, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, there's all these GMOs and stuff. And there's all of these, like, additive ingredients. And my whole thinking of this was turned when I was like just starting the blog. They had a tour of Arizona dairy farms because they were trying to do a marketing campaign. And so we went to one of these Arizona dairy farms and we're talking to the farmers and he's like, you know, people complain about these GMOs, but do you know that the only way they are able to like feed people and prevent against scurvy is actually this GMO called golden rice, which they make. Where they're able to put in, and I can't remember, maybe it's iron in the rice. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that one. But because of these advances, people in underprivileged countries and underprivileged areas are able to get nutrients and the food that they need because they genetically modify the food. And I think that that is so overlooked in this whole process. Yeah. Like it's really a privilege thing when you hear about like, oh, don't eat the additives, don't eat these. And it's the privilege of being able to like completely devote your whole life to thinking about your kids' food when most people can't do that.
It's a modern mom problem.
You got it, Bree.
Bam!
Add it to the list.
But it so is. It so is. At the end of the day, we are all trying. I just saw an Instagram reel this morning from, oh my gosh, now I'm forgetting. It was Abby and Glennon Doyle. Yeah. And they were all like, you know what? Being a parent is the biggest farce because like we tell our kids, don't worry. We got it. We don't got it. We don't know. We are all trying our darn best. We are just trying our best. At the end of the day, we are just trying to get our kids through so that they are happy and healthy.
We are.
And can make up their own minds. That's pretty much like my goal.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. As long as my son feels good about himself and he feels happy with himself, and then that happiness will obviously extend to the people around him and his treatment of them. That's it.
And if that means that they eat sugar and they eat non-organic food and they get screen time and I let them go outside without a jacket when it's cold out, that's life. You like that one? I put that one in there for you, Joanne.
Amen. That is life. There's all the modern mom problems that we're dealing with now. It's a lot. So Tara, to finish this off, what are you looking forward to right now in your life?
What am I looking forward to? From a personal standpoint, my son's a tween now, and I'm looking forward to spending as much time with him until he, you know, like really gets to be like a proper teenager where he's like, Mom, leave me alone, you know, and he wants to hang out with his friends. But he and I are very close. Like my husband, the three of us are very close, and we have a great family unit. So I love spending time with my family. And then from a professional standpoint, what do I like to do? I like to speak with wonderful people like you. I love to come on podcasts and chat about this, have people on my podcast and talk about the modern mom problems in the hope that we could either find solutions for them. And if we can't find solutions for them, at least we're having fun talking about them, which is just as important.
It is. It is really important to get it out, make people feel less alone. Well, thank you so much, Tara, for joining us here. And you're going to be in the Happy Mom Summit with us in March. Get your ticket now. I mean, we have a link for you right under this podcast. It's a free ticket. And Tara, we'll talk to you soon. Yeah, I could go on and on about what we feed our kids, Brie.
Well, I could go on and on too about the whole, like, so I'm just going to say, like, the big thing that the conversations we have in our household with our kids is that your tastes are going to change over time. So you should periodically be trying different stuff because your tastes are going to change. You don't like broccoli right now? No worries. No worries. One day you might. And if you don't, it's fine.
I like that conversation. Yeah. The other thing we talk about is how people need to poop. And like, if you eat too much of like stuff without fiber, and if you don't drink enough water, you're going to find it really hard to poop and you're going to have a lot of stomach aches. So just, you know, bear in mind that you need to poop and try those things out.
No, I think that's a great conversation because you have a diet of nothing but like crackers and apples and bananas and rice, and you're going to be like, why haven't I pooped in a week? Well, as there's a reason for that.
Stomach ache, toilet for an hour. It's no fun. It's no fun at all. So get those things
I think
in.
So many of our parenting dilemmas that we have could be lessened in terms of for us as parents if we would just have more conversations with our kids. Now, I'm not saying that's going to make our kids listen, but having those, the more often you're having those honest conversations, the more that they are going to eventually start listening. Even if it's like, God, Mom, you're so stupid. And then later they're all like, oh, geez, I better drink some water. I haven't pooped in like a day. You know, whatever it is, right? Like they will secretly start to hear it and or they'll realize that. Again, because it all depends on how you have the conversation, but it's about helping them learn things because they're not going to naturally know that stuff. They're not. Kids are not going to seek out that information. They're just not.
It really ties into this natural consequences. I think a lot of parents see like their kids be constipated and they're like, okay, I need to make you eat your veggies now so you're not constipated. So you cannot eat your veggies. If you don't eat your veggies, we're not going to get dessert. Like that totally backfires because kids never learn control over their own bodies that way. But when you put it in a thing like, hey, so you were on the toilet for an hour. You know why that is? You need a little bit more fiber. You need a little bit more water. If you want to fix that issue, here's what you need to do. But your choice.
Yeah. And I think it comes to the same thing with screen time. When you're dealing, like we talked about that in this episode, when you're dealing with a lot of issues with screen time, there are a lot of great conversations you could be having about it. And one thing that I've always loved that you've done with your kids is you talk to them about how they feel, which is something I think a lot of us miss. Like I talk to my daughter a lot because she goes on a lot of the social media websites. I talk to her a lot about the whole like beware predators, like people asking you for things that shouldn't be, you know, saying negative comments. They come back to get you, like, or putting up like embarrassing videos. Be aware of these things. But you talk a lot about like how it makes you feel, which I think is is a huge thing that gets missed with a lot of us as parents, because we worry about the predator, but we don't always worry about the how that's that mental health is being affected.
Yeah. The way I just tell my own experiences to my kids, and then I'm like, are you doing okay? And usually the first few times you ask kids that question, they'll be like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I'm not you, Mom. I'm not you.
I'm not you. I'm not you. I am not an adult now in 2024. I'm a teen, and you don't know what it's like to be a teen in 2024.
So. I don't get those words exactly, but I do get that I don't know. I don't know.
That could be a little over exaggerating on my part, but yes. It's how it is. It's how it is.
It's what's just being said, even if it's not being said verbally. It's what's being said mentally. But yeah, so I mean, like, there's so many things that we could help make better by just having honest conversations with our kids. And that includes, yeah, I messed up and probably didn't handle that situation last weekend the best. I'm going off into a little bit of a tangent there, like in a little bit of a different direction. But the point being is like, having these honest conversations with our kids, I feel like can go really, really far. But like I also said in the podcast, come talk to me in 20 years and I'll tell you whether or not this process worked. I don't know.
Well, I had to apologize yesterday because I told you I've been missing appointments lately. I've been like very, because the workload has increased on my own choices to get more outcomes out of it here at No Guilt Mom, doing a lot more things. And I've been forgetting things. I was late to a thing with you. I thought it was at a different time. And then yesterday I was so consumed in doing a video that my phone started ringing in the middle of my video. It was my daughter, and I had forgotten to pick her up from school. Now she's 15.
Yeah,
because it's a huge issue.
Don't freak out. It's not like she was sitting there by herself.
Yeah, she's 15. She's fine. But she's like, I just don't like being forgotten. And it really triggered me because I'm like, I didn't forget you. I have so many things I have to do. Can you just give me a little grace or a little like, you know, don't yell at me immediately. And we got into this huge argument. We were just arguing in the car and then I left and I came back up like 30 minutes later. I'm like, I am sorry. I lost track of time. I've been doing that a lot lately. My response was more frustration at me than at you. And I'm sorry. And she's like, it's okay. I'm sorry too.
Because like what that whole interaction taught her that A, people are allowed to make mistakes. B, that if you feel like you didn't handle the situation the way you would have liked to, then you can do things to repair it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that you do value her feelings and your guys' relationship, all that right there. Like, I didn't tell you this, but I was late too. Like I had to pick up my daughter from school yesterday, which you know I don't do anymore because her brother normally drives, but he was homesick yesterday. I was late going to get her to pick her up. And when I got there, she had already walked, also in high school, she had already walked across the school parking lot and was over like where I just came in. So like I pull in the parking lot, first thing I see is crossed arms. Just staring me down. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the? And she gets in the car and I thought she'd be excited because I had her learner's permit that had just come in the mail. I'm like, oh my God, look at this. And she's all, whatever. I'm like, why are you so angry? Nothing. I just don't like being the last one to be picked up. And I looked around and she goes, well, yes, I'm exaggerating a little bit because I was like 2 minutes late. I was 2 minutes late.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it couldn't be helped. I hit every red light. And she's like, you could have left earlier. And I was quiet for a minute and I went, you know what? You're right. But it's been a long time since I've had to pick you up from school. I wasn't expecting this to happen today. My schedule is no longer made where I get to leave every day at 2 to come get you. And then she was like, fine, I'm sorry.
Fine. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a late day yesterday for all of us in Gilbert, Arizona.
Exactly. So if you haven't already, get your Happy Mom Summit ticket.
Yes!
It's right below here.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. It is going to be so much fun. And we go on live every single morning in the group. We're on live for Q&As with the speakers. Like, you get me and Bree a lot. So if you really enjoy this podcast, you're going to love the Happy Mom Summit. It's like the podcast on steroids, really, truly. And until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Well, Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.